friends, on this day I bring you tidings of joy and, alas, some unhappy ebbings. First, the good news. You are doubtless aware of the success the Ladies Auxiliary Photographic Club had with its latest film, Confessions of a Deacon, subtitled Bell, Book, and Whip, starring two of our very own congregation, Miss Bubbles and Miss Lamour, and my good self as the deacon. And verily, the subsequent spin-off television series of the same name has already been sold and should cause our cup to runneth over. Thank you, Channel 2. And lo, the bad news. The show was taken off the air after only 10 minutes of the first episode, following complaints from psychologists, psychiatrists, children, atheists, social reformers, and the Progressive Permissive Indulgence Society, to name but 29,000. These unfortunate complaints came in spite of the 3 a.m. time slot. And so, dear friends, to counter the influence of these large majority groups, I ask you all to take up your pencils and write 25 letters each, all in different handwriting, to the manager of the station in support of our show. You are also allotted 25 phone calls each, all in different voices, except for Mrs. Montgomery, who has not yet learned to control her heavy breathing.
It's the all-new, recently elected Make It Bigger Show, starring, in order of promises, the abolished taxation Nolene Brown, the abolished all work Ted Goldsby, and the abolished everything Ross Higgins.
Shop.
Oh, God, it's...
Yes, tis I, Bruce.
Bruce.
No, don't say that.
What?
You know, every time I come in here, you say it. So piss me not off, Mrs. Jackson. For I am Bruce, fearless vampire killer and apprentice fitter and turner.
Eh?
I fit things and turn them.
The other bit, Bruce.
Oh, that yes, dark is the day the vampire rings my front doorbell. Ding dong, like that.
Oh?
Ding dong, he goes, but fearlessly I lurk under my bunny rug. Ding dong, he tries again, but it's no use. Get thee hence, vampire, I cry. I'll not buy your perfume, even if it is shaped like Snoopy.
Bruce, what are you talking about?
Mock me not, Mrs. Jackson, for I have journeyed to hell, glimpsed the face of Lucifer, and returned. A wiser twerp than you, Gunga Din.
What happened?
'Twas the dead of night. Alone I sat, heroically splashing in my bath. Splash, splash. Stop that rubber ducky, I'll go blind. Suddenly, a cold chill runs up my spine and my teeth grit in terror.
What happened?
I sat on the pumice stone.
Bruce.
Nay, heed, hark, and listen, Mrs. Jackson. Suddenly, there is a clap of thunder. Clap! Just like that. The shower curtain gives an eerie rattle. My blood freezes and turns to ice in my very veins. My heart skips a beat and my eyes widen in terror. For there, glinting in the moonlight, fixed in a horrible leer, are the dreaded macabre mandibles of mortality.
You mean the vampire had revealed his fangs?
No, my mum left her teeth in the shower.
Bruce.
But I am resolved in my course. I know Lucifer's disciples lurk out there behind the victor in the tool shed, and I will destroy them. All I ask is a sharp stick and a mallet to steer her by. Swiftly I don my black skivvy, black jeans, black sand shoes and plastic Zorro hat with attached mask, as advertised on TV, $4.99. Run silent, run swift, I whisper as I rig for silent running.
Silent running?
I slip a sock over the bell of me Malvern Star. Fearlessly I pedal round the hill's hoist, a short jostle with a compost tumbler, and a nasty moment when my foot slips off the pedal. But all is quiet, perhaps too quiet. Suddenly a cloud passes over the moon, and in the inky blackness I see him, a shadowy doomsday figure in the night, and I know the moment has arrived. My knuckles turn white as I tightly clutch my stake and strike. Ah! Plunge, and the deed is done.
What, you killed the vampire?
No, I gave old Mr. Robinson a nasty shock.
Oh?
He dropped the garbage on Mitzi the dashened and short-circuited his pacemaker.
Bruce.
What?
Piss off.
This is the taxation department. Now, what
Blood
do you...
Bloodsucker! Parasite! Leech!
You're a boil!
Get into him, Phil!
Look, what do you want?
Give us a rebate!
Yeah, give us a rebate!
How much?
$1,327,000, 3 shillings and 3 pence.
Madam, no one gets a rebate like that.
Clary does.
Yeah, I does.
Clary worked it out.
Yeah, I worked it out.
Clary owns Western Australia.
Yeah, I own Western Australia. That's a good one, Phil.
He rents it out to Lang Hancock.
Yeah, he's a good bloke, Lang.
Yeah, for a bloke who wears glasses, that is.
I rented the other bit to Donnie Dunstan.
Good bloke, Donnie.
Yeah, kind of different.
That's a good one, Clary.
Will you two please...
Quiet, public service twerp.
Bore it up him, Phil.
Can do, Clary. Stick your tongue in a mousetrap, public servant.
Taxation twit.
Madam, have you filed a return?
Mind your own business.
It's personal.
I need to see your return so I can process your rebates.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Don't you dare touch her rebates.
What about a putting away allowance?
Yeah, what about a putting away allowance?
Why?
Because they keep putting her away, of course.
Ah, yeah, because they keep putting me away, of course. That's a good one, Clary.
What happens to our tax money anyway?
Bond's a question, Clary. What does happen to our tax money?
Your money is spent wisely on schools, hospitals, roads, looking after the sick and needy.
Geez, you blokes can stretch $6.20 a long way.
Yeah, I can't even get a prawn for that.
How much of that did you spend on the Hume Highway?
Yeah, which pothole's ours?
That's got him knotted, Clary.
Will you please get out of here?
Going?
Yeah, we're going.
Oh, by the way.
What?
You do actually for real work for the taxation department, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Prove it.
Yeah, go on, prove it. What's your name?
Philip Lynch.
Shiny trousers?
Shiny trousers. That's a good one, Clary. By the way, how do you shave with those broken arms?
What broken arms?
Those broken arms!
Ah,
gotcha! See you tomorrow!
See you tomorrow!
Goodbye!
Now, let's welcome
love. Yeah. Excuse me, is this...
Yeah, what do you want?
Is this the Venus Love AIDS Boutique?
Look, I don't sit around with a Carl Draft whistling up me rubber suspender belt for nothing, Cobber.
Look, this is all very embarrassing for me, but...
That's what they all say. Now, what do you want, Vicar?
No, you don't understand.
Oh, of course not. It's for your friend, isn't it?
No. You see, I'm doing research for a book.
What
on...
a coincidence. You're the 23rd novelist I've had this morning.
I got your address from Nation Review, the dalliance section.
Ah, yes, yes. Now, which erotic pleasure was it? Tupperware delights?
No.
Glad wrap glamour?
No.
Happy little Vegemites?
No.
Blazing gumboots? Better known to connoisseurs as down on the farm.
No, you don't understand.
Say no more. I'm a soul of discretion, if you'll just follow me. Excuse me, fellas, this black here'd like to check out some of our discreet merchandise. How do you like the pink one?
No, please, look, you don't understand. I want to talk to you about films.
Oh, films. Now you're talking. What's your pleasure, harem hopscotch? At home with ABBA?
No. I want to talk to you about Australian films.
Oh, no sweat. Machine 3. 90 minutes of sheer delight and Caddy meets the Whipbird.
No. I want to sell you some film.
Oh, you? Oh, what have you got?
Offcuts from Alvin Purple.
The real thing. Oh. You're legit, aren't you? I mean, you're dinkum.
Yes, my name is...
You've got yourself a deal, Sir Henry.
Shh! Hello, Jean.
Hello, Marge. How are you?
Oh, I had a terrible headache last night, but I took another lot of aspirin and the pain went away almost immediately.
Why do you get so many headaches, Marge?
Oh, it's that kidney machine of mine, of course. It's awfully noisy.
Death. D-E-F. Death. In powders or tablets. Take some soon.
Hello, and welcome to Glitter Time, where we look behind the tinsel to the heartbeat of the gay world of the arts. My name is Peter Mascara, and my guest on the show today is the world-famous, excitingly eccentric exponent of action art, Jean-Paul Braithwaite Montmorency.
G'day, Peter. Call me Jono.
Oh, call me Peter-O.
No.
Oh. All right. Well, tell me, Jono, you first came to public notice when you cut your toenails on the Speaker's chair at Parliament House.
Yes, that was a commissioned work for the National Gallery under the Labour government. I named it Nail in the Coffin.
I understand that work is on tour with a travelling exhibition of contemporary Australian art.
Oh, exactly, Peter. Currently, you'll see my toenail clippings hanging in the Louvre next to the Mona Lisa, which I think is an insult.
And what of your new action artworks?
Well, I started the year with a work I entitled Parisian Experience.
And what did you do?
Chucked a spud off the Eiffel Tower.
Good.
And, of course, there's my famous work of rude gestures inside a paper bag, which is currently on display at the Burmese Apex Club Art Gallery in Rangoon.
Hence the absence of your hand.
Correct.
And now, what of your new work?
Ah, yes, Peter, I know of what you allude to.
And that is?
A musical manifestation of a social force as yet unrecognised in modern society, but surely an astringent comment on the plastic, hedonistic world we live in.
And that is?
Chook strumming.
Good heavens, what do you do?
Well, it's self-explanatory, Peter. I grab a chook and strum it.
But why do you strum the chook?
I tried blowing it, but got a mouthful of feathers and showered the conductor with eggs. First violin wasn't too happy either.
Oh?
Filled his Stradivarius with shell grit.
Good. Tell me, how did you get onto chook strumming?
Stumbled across it accidentally, Peter. Just got back after covering Ayers Rock with beer cans and Weet-Bix for the Arts Council.
A strong statement.
My way, Peter, my way. Anyway, on the way back, I visited me Nana at Port Kembla, and she said, over a pikelet in Milo, have you ever given any thought to the strumming of chooks?
And the rest is history.
Yes, Peter, only last week I had the honour of performing for Her Majesty me new orchestration of the 1812 Overture for Orchestra and Chook.
Good. And finally, the future. What does it hold for Jean-Paul Braithwaite Montmorency?
Who?
You.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've just signed for an action exhibition next year.
And what will you do? More chook strumming?
No, I'm going to chew on Dun Dunstan's leg at next year's Adelaide Festival.
Thank you, Jono.
Thank you, Peter.
Here's Brenda Christen.
Stroke, it will be 10:32 and 20 seconds. At the third stroke...
Hello, John?
It will be 10:32
John?
And 30 seconds.
John.
What?
It's Pam.
I know. What do you want?
Will you be coming home for dinner or are you working overtime?
Just a moment. There's someone else coming on the line. At the third stroke, it will be, hang on. Pam, what's the time?
About 10:30.
Thanks, darling.
But my watch is a bit fast.
Right. It will be about 10:30, but Pam's watch is a bit fast. Thank you, dear.
Bye, darling.
Good evening. I'm on the second floor of the Manhattan boarding house down in the waterfront. Behind this door, room 7, is the man we're going to surprise tonight. Let's go in. George Smith?
Who are you?
What's the...
George, before you jump off the chair, I've got a surprise for you.
What? Will you leave me alone?
George Smith, this is your life.
Don't you leave me alone!
Come on, George, loosen the rope. Get off the chair. We've got to rush to the studio.
No, please. I was just about to...
Always one for a joke. Come on, George. Use this chair, George.
Okay.
No, get down. Just sit on it.
Oh.
George Smith, you're born in Wombat Flat when you're just a baby. Even then, your parents are on the move. But you somehow always managed to find them. So did we. Unable to be with us, but on film, the parents you haven't seen for 47 years.
Hello, George.
Yeah, hello, George.
How about that, George? Your mother and father.
Are you sure they're my parents?
Yes. Well, it's been many years since those childhood days in Wombat Flat. If you go back there, like we did, you'll find the citizens have erected a small stone monument in the main street. And do you know what's inscribed on that monument, George?
No,
Look at the monitor. You see that? It says, Melbourne, 97 miles.
Gee, I had no idea.
Yes, George, it's the milestone you once sat on and swore that you'd be rich and famous. But you never were. Remember?
No.
But soon you're to face new challenges. And we'll find out what they were after this break.
Men, has this ever happened to you?
Merv.
What's a man?
Just under your nose.
Aye?
Your lip.
What about it?
It's all bald.
Oh, I can't help it. I've tried everything to promote a luxurious, healthy growth.
Have you tried Denash?
Aye?
The people who brought you Denair, the denim hairpiece for the now generation, are proud to announce Denash, the clip-on denim mustache that knows where it's at. Try it for size, Merv.
Wow, a denim mustache, Merv. Quick, let's go to a wine bar.
Jeez, man. Oh, gee, I feel so young again. I could jump.
Do it, Merv. Jump. Your younger look, Denash, will stay with you all the way. You can run in it.
I'm going to go for a run, Simone.
Oh, Merv.
You can sneeze in it.
Achoo!
Is it still there, Merv?
Yeah.
New Denash, the denim mustache that lets you do whatever turns you on.
Simone.
Oh, no, Merv.
Denash, the only denim clip-on mustache that's recommended by 9 out of 10 John Newcombs and the entire Australian Test cricket team.
Well, George, when you're 23, trying to forget the incident at Wombat Flat Nurse's Home, you journey to Melbourne and find yourself standing outside the door of Jim's gym.
Even now, I'm sure I'd know him if I seen him.
The cleaning lady from Jim's gym, Agnes Hardcastle.
G'day. No, it's not the bloke I was thinking of. Oh, sorry, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And it's inside Jim's gym that your big break comes. On that very first day as you enter the ring, you trip and break your jaw. So you decide to become a window dresser.
Oh, you sure?
Yes, Wayne.
It's George.
But the window dressing doesn't quite work out, does it?
Doesn't it?
No. You trip on your corduroy overshoes, swallow a can of pins, and in confusion step through the plate glass window.
Oh!
Job follows job.
You're a milkman until your horse falls down an open horse hole. Professional golfing doesn't prove to be your bag either. For the first time, lightning does strike twice. Your number four iron, and then your zipper.
Oh, I remember that.
You then try panel beating. But alas, Diana Fisher, Leo Port, and Vic Nicholson are too strong for you. Then, where was the fateful day you signed up on the HMAS Melbourne after being a foreman on the Westgate Bridge? Then you design the Sydney Opera House. And finally, you drive your P-76 to Darwin, just in time for Christmas. George Smith, born loser, this is your life.
That was the Naked Vicar Show, starring the high-speed six-cylinder Cat Goldby, the twin carburetors Nolene Brown, and the highly maneuverable Ross Higgins. The 2.4-liter independent suspension Naked Vicar band was under the direction of the European-style Michael Pajanic. Noises and other sound effects were made by the automatic or manual John McGraw, Ron Winman, and Steve Collins. This show is recorded by the half-drop or sports model Mike Byrne, Rupert Maslin, and Dennis Fox. The production was coordinated by the push-button and stereo Judy Murphy, written and produced by the improvised visibility finance available Gary Riley and Tony Zappler, with additional material by the bucket-seated Doug Edwards. Julianne Ford had a grease and oil change to become executive producer. The Naked Vicar Show is an RSABC production and is made in Japan because it's cheaper.